So one of the things that we have learned about, or Pastor Ed has talked to us a lot about, is to be aware, to be intentional in what we do, and to be aware of our surroundings. And like most of the testimonies that you have heard, we talk about learning how to serve one another and honoring one another. And when we look at the contrast of the cultures of in the interior and the urban, we see a lot of emphasis of honoring one another and serving one another. And this is what Pastor Ed challenged us, the team, is that we do not want to go to this mission trip as an experience to go there to have fun, to see different cultures, experience different kinds of food. But what is it that we are seeing in the interior or in the trip that causes a change in our spirit, that we are intentional in bringing that change back to Penang, back home, right here? And so the title of the message is, if you are writing notes, is Honoring God with Our Service to One Another. Let's look at John chapter 13. Verse 3 to 15. Okay, let 13. Okay, take your time. All right, let us read together. 3, 2, 1, go. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taken a towel tied to his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was seated betraying him, and there was said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put up his other garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord, teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash in another's feet. Given you an example that you shall. Amen. Let us just have verse 13 and 14 up. So as I've said, that one thing that we have learned in a mission trip was to be aware and intentional to look out for one another in a team and to serve one another. But it's not just among our team members, but it goes beyond to serving Pastor Danny, to go to serve the pastors or the church leaders that were leading us into the interior. And for the team, in order for the team to minister effectively, we have to be effective at being a team. There needs to be unity in a team. And for the team to be united, honoring one another is crucial. Serving one another is crucial to not only to keep the unity of the team, but to see God's work in the midst of us. According to Mr. Google, the definition of honor is to regard someone or something with great respect, or to esteem someone or something highly. But honor, the distinction is honor and respect are two different things. And there's a quote that says that honor is given, respect is earned. Respect is earned, when I say that, it means that respect is based on what someone has done. You know, like, given, for example, JC, sorry, poke on you. Like, JC can bench press 100 kgs. Like, oh, respect, man, because you can bench press 100 kgs. But honor is given. So it's like, even though whether Ashton is able to bench press 30, 50 kg or not, I still honor that friendship. And if you were to tell me that secret, you know, if you were to tell me a secret, how, no matter how much JC pays me, whether is it $100 million, I'll still not betray that secret. I'll still not let out that secret. Why? Because I honor that friendship. And it's not based on what Ashton has done to me, but it is because I honor it, because I said I'm going to honor it. And so an example, and honor is a core component of our Christian walk with God. If you do not realize it, an example as like today, you come to church today, it is because you honor your relationship with God. You honor your faith with God. That is why you will come. Because you regard your faith highly, that is why you will come to church to worship God. Because you honor your relationship with God, that is why you will come today to worship Him. And so it goes to whether is it us being single, like for me being single, how do I honor God? It's by keeping myself pure from sexual immoralities. And how does a married couple honor one another? It is by abstaining themselves from infidelity. And so one of the, there are two questions I'd like to ask the church today is, who here wants to see God's power work in every area of their lives? Everybody. I hope so. Everybody, right? And who here wants to see God's power working in and through this church to just grow in every aspect that you can ever think and imagine of? All of us want to. And the answer to that question is, honor is the key to unleash the fullness of God's power in our lives as individuals and as a church. Honor is a key that unlocks the power of God. I see that honor, it is like a adapter, you know, PVC pipes, where you want to attach a PVC pipe 90 degrees, you have an adapter to connect it, and when it is all connects, and that, or I got a better example to give. You know, in our school projects last time, we make a, there's this science project in school where you use the battery, then you connect the wires to a light bulb, and then there is a switch. Honor is that switch that allows God's power to power the entire community, to power the your entire life. And I'd like us to see how can we lock up God's power. And what I mean is that in a negative way. Because we talk about honor is the key to unleashing it. And so I'm going to show you how, what not to do to unleash God's power. And let us look at Mark chapter 6. Verse 1-5. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath day, he began to teach in a synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and amongst his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." See, the people back in Jesus' hometown admit that Jesus was teaching something legit, you know, like he wasn't cuckoo, you know. He was teaching something that has weight, and he was doing signs and wonders. But they recognize the characteristics, the supremeness of who Christ is, but they stopped there. It did not continue in faith to say that you are Lord, you are our Lord. But it goes to say, hey, aren't you Joseph's son, the carpenter? Aren't you somebody that lived behind my block, you know? And it goes to say that they lack regard for who Christ is, even after seeing and hearing what he has taught and what he has done. And that caused their hearts to turn cold towards him in disbelief. And that is how the people of Nazarene did not permit the power of God to work in their lives. It wasn't because Jesus wasn't able to do mighty works, but because that lack of honor, that lack of regard of who Christ is, that turned their hearts into disbelief and saying that, no lah, you are not that Christ, you are not that Messiah. And so, are we as Christians, are we living our lives in such a way that allows God to do his mighty works in our lives? Because if we call ourselves as Christians who believe in what the Bible says and who Christ is and what he has done, and we say, you know, God, we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then we must examine our lives, whether or not do the way that we live permit the power of God to work in us and through us. Because honor is the key to unleashing unleash the fullness of God's power in our lives as individuals and as a church. And so there, we talk about the second greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. See, if we truly honor God, we will serve one another. And when we truly serve one another, we will honor God by doing so. And let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 to 40. And in this passage, let's read. One, two, three, go. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked. See, didn't bring your Bible. Okay. That's why we use the book. Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40. And so it reads, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And Jesus is the perfect example of being a humble servant. In Philippians 2, verse 7 to 8, or 6, 6 to 8, it says that God, Jesus being equal with God, but did not consider himself equal to him. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in the human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. See, honor is not a reaction to what the other person has done. Rather, it bypasses that to reflect what Christ has done for us. And when we look at the life of Jesus, even when he is coming near to his death, he did not sought comfort from his disciples. Imagine if you were to die today, you would say that, oh, I wish I had the best, whether is it the nasi lemak, char kway teow, your last meal, you know. You will want to be comforted because you are going to die. And what I'm talking the death right now is about natural death. But what Jesus was going through, that he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be abandoned by his disciples, he was going to be crucified, he was going to be nailed up on the cross. But yet, he did not sought the comfort of his own. But he still shown that posture of a servant. He still served his disciples by saying that, hey, you are right in saying that I'm your Lord and your teacher. And if I'm your Lord and your teacher who washes your feet, then do likewise for the others as well. In every institution that God has initiated for man, whether is it marriage, family, church, or governing authorities, God has designed it in a way that honor is necessary for it to prosper. If there is no honor in a marriage, it will suffocate and die. If the husband does not treat the wife or does not love the wife like Christ loves the church, and if the wife does not submit to the husband like the church submits to Christ, it will suffocate and die. If there's no honor within your friendship, with your friends, it won't last. And this is what Satan is doing to our society. And remember what Pastor Selena has shared about the three cultural threats that the church faces by Ravi Zachariah. And it is secularism, pluralism, and privatization. And these are the threats, I believe, it is more potent to urban lifestyles. So I'm going to give you a brief description of what secularism means, pluralism, privatization means. So secularism basically is to say that, hey, I don't want to do anything with God. God is an old school stuff, you know, and that I do not want to have anything to do with religion. And that is, that directly affects every institution that is on this earth. Because if we were to remove God out of the picture of our lives, then it has to be replaced with something. And that thing will be ourselves. That is why Satan is trying to do, and that he is so strongly emphasizing in our media, especially in the urban cities where information is so easily received and attained, is that he's emphasizing the big I, you know. It's all about me. It's all about me, 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 me. And it's all about how I feel, what I don't feel like. It's about what I have and I don't have. And I remember reading a quote that it says that God created man. God created man to be masters of the earth, masters over the land, over the sky, over the sea, over the creatures of the earth. But when man decided to master his own life, he became a master of none. And that is something that is affecting our church today. If we are not aware, is that we can remove God out of the church, and it becomes just a social gathering. And every week that we come here, it will be just a feel good factor, you know. Oh yeah, I'm involved in a movement. I'm involved in this, you know. And the next one is pluralism, and pluralism talks about there is no absolute truth. Whatever you feel like, you think like, is good. You think that, oh, that's my way of life, go ahead. And that creates problems in our society where people think that they are unicorns or think that they are cats and they live like one. And We may laugh at it, but that is a very sad truth that is happening in our society, because that is not what God intended it to be. And where there is pluralism, there is no honor. Why do I say that? It is because there is no absolute path. You decide your own. You decide what is right for yourself. You decide what fits for you. Instead of having that divine authority over you that decides what is good and what is bad. And that is what caused, and that is what messed up Adam and Eve when they choose to decide that, hey, I'm going to decide for myself what is good and what is bad. And so they decided that the fruit, the forbidden fruit, was good for them, was good for food. And the thirdly is privatization. And in our modern culture, or in the urban setting, compared to the rural areas, it is very different. Where rural areas, there is a lot of emphasis of community, community-based living. But for us, in an urban setting, a lot of times we focus a lot of ourselves, you know, where we are so self-centered that we do not realize what is happening around us, and we are unaware. And I recently saw a post where the governments are planning to put pedestrian street lights or pedestrian traffic lights on the ground instead of up, so that when people are texting their phone, they can still see whether is it green to cross or red to cross. And for me, I find that very idiotic because it does not promote awareness, but it promotes ignorance, that you allow people to be ignorant and still protect them. And that is something that we, as a church, if we believe in God our Father being a relational God, being a triune God, and we believe that Christ died for us, that we are all together, all of us, we are all significant to one another, and that we are a body. Basically, we are a body as a church, as a body of Christ. Then, hey, privatization is a threat to the way we live our lives and how we relate to one another. Because honor needs to be towards someone. Honor is a relational thing. Because in the Bible, a lot of times, especially in Paul's letter, honor, the word honor and love is kind of a similar meaning. And a lot of times they might use the same translation, because honor, you can't love something that you do not honor. And you need to honor something that you love, because both regard someone or something highly. And that if we leave, and if we are dragged away by this secularism, pluralism, and privatization, and if we are not aware, we as Christians will lose our significance in the church and as a body of Christ. We will lose our saltiness, and we will lose our light to shine, because we are no longer Christ-centered. We are self-centered. And when we lose our focus of Christ, we will end up like Peter, who gets swallowed by the sea, like Hai Sheng, like that. In the skit, you know, we will end up like Peter, being swallowed by the surrounding, by his surrounding, by what is happening around him. And that's where we, as a church, we will no longer be effective, because we are called to be in the world, but not of it. We are called to be, in 1 Peter 2:9, it says that we are called out of darkness. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, a people who are called to declare the praises of Him out of the darkness into His wonderful light. And so my challenge to us as a church is to ask ourselves, what cultures are we embracing in our individual lives? Because it all starts from ourselves. You know, we had a conversation last on Friday in CG, where we talk about Chinese culture, you know, where Chinese culture or Asian culture is whatever that makes your family happy, you do it. And it doesn't matter what is on your inside, but whatever that makes your family happy, you do it. So if it suits or if it makes you happy, if JC is my family, oh, you know, you're so good, you know, you're so whatever not, but I wouldn't care if you were to do drugs, you know. You know, I wouldn't care if you were to destroy your own life internally. But as long as whatever you're doing to me, it makes me happy, then it's fine. And that is something that we need to be aware about, because the cultures, we either adopt a biblical basis culture or we adopt a worldly culture. And we want to adopt a culture of honoring, because again, honor is the key to unleash the fullness of God's power in our lives. And honor strengthens relationship. Where there is honor, there is God's work at hand. When there's honor in a relationship, there is healing. And honor is a space that allows God to do his work in us. So my challenge for us is, what are the cultures that we are embracing in our individual lives? Is it a culture of honoring one another, honoring God? Or is it a culture that is just about me, me, me? Thank you.